flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, guys. DG Asa on KMOX, few minutes past 4 p.m. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we do the Think Tank. We have a couple of our friends, usually on opposite sides of the aisle. Today, we have Chuck Summers and Kurt Barr, head of elections out in St. Charles County. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So, Chuck, this is your second time or third time?
This is my second time here.
Okay. So, reintroduce yourself to the folks.
Hi, my name's Chuck Summers, and I am running for Congress in Missouri's 2nd Congressional District.
Which is which one? Who has it now?
So Ann Wagner is the current representative there now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about the first time around. Tell me about just the whole experience.
The first time around was crazy. I actually retired Memorial weekend to start running. And as you know, we live in a red state. I could not find a campaign manager. So I almost gave up on it. And then around February the next year, I finally found a campaign manager. I had a compressed time to get a campaign put together. I was running against Ray Hartman, mm-hmm. which is a local, you know,
legend.
Yeah. And I lost out of pure name recognition, but I built a coalition, made a lot of friends, and I learned a lot. And that's got me prepared for 26.
Good. Yeah. Good, good, good. What were the two or three most valuable lessons that you're like, okay, this time it's different?
So a lot of it was just dealing with the government, the FEC, getting your employee number, like I said, getting my campaign manager, figuring out that, you know, you're not allowed to advertise on certain billboards. And there's just a lot of navigating through the political world that I figured out this time.
Which you had to figure out yourself, right?
Yeah, there really isn't anybody who says, hey, candidate, here's what you need to know, unless you're going to, like, have a bunch of money for some sort of like campaign manager or something. So yeah, everybody learns on their own, like how to do that. But yeah, making sure whether it's the FEC or the MEC, depending on what level you're running for, making sure you don't run afoul of those rules. That's a scary thing.
So Chuck's at a pretty high level without a lot of help.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Running for Congress is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. It's not an easy thing to do without a pile of money too, right?
Amen to that, brother. Yeah. I actually took money out of my retirement to run on.
You stopped that.
Yeah, I know.
You raised that money.
I know. But, Dave, this is something that I thought about for 20 years. I was actually recruited to run in 2001, but due to family emergencies, I put my political aspirations on the back burner. I focused on my family. I've got my kids raised now. I had a great career as a plumbing union plumber, and I got to retire early. I got a good pension, supplemental, insurance, and now I did what I had to do for 30-something years, and now I'm doing what I want to do, and that's go to Washington and effect change.
What would you like to see done? What is Ann not doing, or what you think Ray wouldn't have done?
The big thing for me was middle-class tax cuts. I think the middle class is overtaxed, overburdened, and underrepresented. We're represented by millionaires and billionaires that really don't care about us. And the biggest one for me would have been middle-class tax cuts.
Yeah. Kurt, what did you think of the shenanigans yesterday? Just par for the course? Just inauguration day? That's the way it goes?
Which shenanigans? I mean, are we talking about the
just overall, man. Yesterday was between Melania's hat and executive orders, and I mean, it was just a nutty day.
There was a lot happening. I didn't understand the hat thing. I mean, it looked like a good hat.
We're
I didn't
dudes.
Understand what the deal was with her apparel.
I mean, yeah, I think she looked like the Hamburglar so much. So yeah. Kenny, anytime you look like a McDonald's land character. It's not great.
Rubble, rubble.
obviously, Trump signed a few executive orders.
You got to give the man credit. He says what he does, and he does what he says.
Fulfilling campaign promises on day one. It'd be interesting to see. A lot of people think that by renaming the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, that negates a lot of the laws about drilling. I have no idea if that's legally feasible or not, but I know certainly people think that that's why he did that. I'm curious to see when the maps are going to change, though.
Yeah, and that's something that we may do it, but the rest of the world doesn't have to abide by it.
Yeah, we had Brad Young on, the attorney, a while ago, and he was saying the same thing. He can say that the federal government's going to call it this, but no one else has to, and Google's not going to change it, no country's going to change, international law doesn't change. It's just, like, I could start calling you Fred.
Yeah. I traveled overseas when I was in the military, and, the maps are different no matter, where you
are. That's interesting.
We call it Germany, but over there they call it Deutschland. And so that means to have different maps for different names, that's normal.
Yeah. How were you? I know this isn't your bailiwick, but you're part of the government out in St. Charles. How did you guys do with the big snowmageddon and all the street gate?
I mean, St. Charles County Department of Transportation did a great job getting to the major roads. I mean, for the neighborhoods, they mostly just did like a single pass.
Mm-hmm.
My neighborhood was safe relatively quickly. Obviously, they focused on the major highways, to begin with. I'll tell you, we did a whole lot better job than St. Louis City. My wife has a property in the city, and we went there Sunday, and it was 2 inches of ice. Whereas we have clean concrete in St. Charles County.
Yeah. Trish Gazelle came in today to fill in for Rachel, who's in Japan, and she said her street in the city is still iced over. Mm-hmm. Still.
Yeah, and Amy said she was going to go to a friend's house, and she's rethinking it because she may not be able to get down the street in the car. And we had the story, from the weekend, where an ambulance couldn't make it down a street, so they had to walk up the street.
I would,
that's not happening in my neighborhood.
I would think people are overblowing it about this is going to cost Tashara Jones the election against Kara Spencer. I would agree if it were in 2 years, but it's in like 4 months or something like that. So this is still going to be pretty fresh in our minds.
I asked you this, Dave, but if this is happening on your watch, how are you not embarrassed?
Yeah,
I would
flesh
be embarrassed
that opinion
if it
out.
Was me.
I like that opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than 2 weeks since the initial snow. We have not had, that big snow stopped on that Sunday night, early Monday morning. So we all knew it was going to take some time because, look, we're not Chicago, we're not Detroit, we're not those Buffalo. We don't have the same equipment. But when I can see out by where I live in St. Charles County, it's much different and much better. It's nothing's perfect, but it was pretty clean when you say, Kurt, within 2 days.
Yes.
Three days, and you're like, yep, it's fine. There's some slush. A couple of lanes maybe on smaller roads are a little smaller than they'd normally be because of all the snow. But for it to be 2 weeks later after a 40-degree thaw for 2 days, what were you doing on those 2 days where there was a thaw and things softened up enough to throw some salt
on them? Literally nothing.
Right. This is my point. Like, I would be out there driving the trucks myself. If I were mayor and I had ice rinks for streets in my city, I would be out there doing it myself.
So my niche is construction, and a lot of the ideas that I have are to how to rebuild our infrastructure to address climate change and extreme weather events. And one of them that I had was rebuilding our roads with recirculation lines, heated drains, to where when the temperature gets below a certain, the thermometer kicks on, the recirc starts happening, it melts it, takes it away. Same thing when you get extreme heat. When it gets to a certain temperature, it kicks on, cools it down. It makes your roads last longer because you don't have the extreme weather, fighting on it. And once you get the initial infrastructure done, it basically runs itself. And the perfect opportunity to do that, because you have to tear it all the way down to the bottom to rebuild it to do this, would be Highway 70 that they're getting ready to rebuild.
Hmm.
Just an idea.
Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the Democrat Party. You guys are pretty down right now. I just saw a study saying that the Democrat Party has not been this unpopular since the Cold War. I think it's a couple of things. I said yesterday that although it's really, really oversimplifying it, I think Donald Trump won because of two major reasons. One, we live in a world of entertainment these days. It's no longer the days of Ronald Reagan or, for the love of God, Harry Truman. Harry Truman couldn't touch the White House with a 10-foot pole. He was boring. So he was the most entertaining, and most people in America hate woke. Yeah. And woke can mean different things to different people. It's one of those things that, like, I could describe it, Kirk could describe it, we could be pretty far off. But whatever it is, how you describe it, most people don't like it. And I became sort of a devotee of Bill Maher. I used to really dislike him when I was on 97.1. I thought he was just super liberal and kind of crazy. And now I tend to agree with 95% of the stuff he says, especially when he's going off on the left. So I think that for your side, this is like getting the table ran on you in football or in baseball. It's time for self-reflection. What do you think?
I agree, and I think what it's a reflection of is the billionaire elite that own your government, they own your judiciary, they own the media, which means they control the messaging, and that's how Donald Trump got elected. And if you want a representation of that, all you have to do is look at his inauguration, and the people that were in the front row were all the billionaires that had the money, that have access to all your government funds now. So I think what we need to do, and it is the messaging, Dave, there's no doubt about it. Republicans use the culture war, and Democrats, bite on that hook and fight that fight. And my campaign is not about any of that. What I'm about is kitchen table issues and what I can do, because I come from a union background and I consider myself a union rep. And when I used to call a union rep out on the job, they'd take care of the problem. I think when constituents call me out, that I should take care of their problems. So my campaign is going to be completely about kitchen table issues.
What was the worst time during your career for unions? When were things really at their lowest?
I tell you what, dude, I had a pretty good run, man, up here till just lately. The attacks on unions started back with Ronald Reagan, and you can see there's a direct correlation in the decline of the middle class and the decline of the unions. And actually, Biden had a bill that he wanted to pass, which was called the PRO Act, which would expand unions all across the country. So a lot of these service industry employees that taxpayers subsidize their retirement, their health care, and everything else, they would be able to form unions and give them a shot at the American dream like everybody else. So I that's what I want to do. I want to grow unions. I want everybody to have representation and the government to stop subsidizing millionaires and billionaires.
So I'm a union guy. My dad was part of the Carpenters Local. His entire career, every meal I ever ate was a union meal. I'm SAG-AFTRA, very proud of that. But someone has pretty effectively pitted it as unions against non-union.
Yeah.
How do unions benefit non-union workers?
I'll tell you what, Dave, I worked on a lot of non-union jobs, and they would get Grassi involved because they liked me as a plumber. So, and what I would want to do is go in there and show them what a union craftsman can do to hopefully sway them back over to our side. So I don't see it like that. I want to get everybody represented because I'm benefit. Like I said, I've got, a good pension, good supplemental, good health care. And I think that is the American dream. And I think everybody should have a shot at that.
Kurt, on your side, to the extent you do have trouble with unions, what's the trouble?
I mean, typically, one of the problems that Republicans see with unions is just their overall expensiveness, their cost if you're dealing in the trades. Although they do have a great training program, and so you are getting a skilled labor force. So I don't bash anybody who wants to be in the unions or unions in general, but they generally are more expensive. One of the things they a lot of times you hear people say, hey, unions benefit non-unions because we raise the cost, which is true, but they also then, of course, raise the cost. But what Republicans, especially the elected Republicans, usually have a problem with unions isn't the union worker. It's the unions using their dues to fund elections, campaigns, which typically goes to left of center candidates.
So too political for your taste.
Yes.
Yeah.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 423. Kurt Barr, the head of elections in St. Charles. Chuck Summers, who is running for Ann Wagner's seat on the Democrat side in the 2nd District, is here with us as well. So let's talk about the upcoming elections. Before we talk about the specific ones, I forget who I was talking to, someone who lives in the city and was lamenting the fact that we make such poor choices. And they were saying that why can't we just have all of these elections, all of these votes, when everyone's voting at the same time so you get much better turnout? Why do we do these special elections and such?
Because that's the way we've always done it. There's a fair number of Republican legislators who would love to move the local elections to the November elections. Generally, the school boards don't like that. They say it's because their bonds are tied to the date of the election, and changing the election date messes up with, you know, renewing their bonds and, mm-hmm. and whatnot. Other people, more cynical, say that's because, you know, they benefit by getting their taxes and bonds passed with a lower turnout election, that
yeah.
people who usually show up are more willing to vote yes on those issues, and that's why there's a reluctance to change the date. Missouri is only one of five states that has a April municipal election. Kansas and Iowa, New Mexico, there's a number of states, they have their municipal elections in November of the odd years. So every November, the Tuesday of November is an election day. And they do see higher turnouts by doing that than we see in Missouri by having it in April.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the most part, the cities and the school boards that have their elections in April, they like that date and they generally lobby against moving that date. But I do think there is a bill to change it to the November election so that more people are participating in our local elections.
How do you guys advertise or promote that the election's coming up on the odd years?
So here in St. Charles County, St. Louis County, we will send out a sample ballot to voters and say, hey, by the way, you know, the election is on this date. Here is your sample ballot. And here's where you can go to vote. In rural areas, they don't often do that. Franklin County doesn't send anything to the voters in reminding them of the election or where their polling place is, because it's not required under law. So we try to give that sample ballot to remind people about that, as well as to remind them that we have the 2 weeks of no excuse voting before Election Day so they can come out to the Election Authority office.
Is there any way of incentivizing people to vote, or at least removing obstacles? How much time do guys like you spend trying to understand what the obstacles are to people voting?
So yes, we actually do try to reduce those obstacles by giving out those sample ballots early in the process and reminding them about the 2 weeks of no excuse voting. We're trying to make sure that they know, hey, they have this option. You can come early if you're not going to be here on Election Day, or if Election Day is going to be bad weather, come before Election Day and vote. You know, obstacles can be an issue of proximity to a polling place. So in St. Charles County, we have 105 different polling locations for our 300,000 voters, so that most people are within a very short drive of a polling place. Now in the city, you know, where more people are pedestrians, you know, they have to focus on bus routes and walkability to try to make sure that, you know, they're putting polling places in as many places so that voters have that option. Because one thing we could do is say, hey, it'd be a whole lot easier to just say lots of people have to come to this one location.
Yeah.
And then that creates lines. So that creates traffic issues, and that decentralizes voters. So yeah, there is a lot that goes into making sure we have enough locations in accessible areas for people so that they have, you know, that ability to vote, whether it's Election Day. Figuring out how many like early vote sites we need for the turnout for an election is an important thing.
Chuck, we have about 60 seconds left. It's all yours. Why don't you tell people why they should be supporting you when the next election rolls around?
So I'm running for Congress to represent working class people. That's where I came from. I made a living out of solving problems, working with others to do it. I think that is grossly missed in Washington. And we talked earlier about we have millionaires and billionaires representing millionaires and billionaires. We need working class people representing working class people. And right now we don't have that. That's what I want to run for. That's what I want to do. And I want to bring change to Washington. Good change. You know, for so long we've had people that are going up there to obstruct things. And I think we need to send people up there that have a vision, that want to fix things and work for the people.
Oh, you're welcome back here anytime, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're part of the family now.